Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are provided for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. For more information, go to bestevershow.com.
The metaphor I always like to use is that of a tricycle, right? It's totally appropriate when you're a small kid. Now, when you're a little bit older, it can get a little bit cumbersome. And the same is true for your internal systems and processes. So I think it's really prudent that you're looking at those systems and processes and adapting them so that you can produce accurate financial statements.
Welcome to the Best Ever Show, the world's longest running daily commercial real estate podcast. Our hosts interview commercial real estate experts every day to get you the best advice ever with none of the fluffy stuff.
Best Ever listeners, welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show, brought to you live in Salt Lake City from the Best Ever Conference podcast stage, sponsored by PreiShare. I'm Slocum Reed. Today, I am joined by a couple of fabulous guests. I'm actually really looking forward to this conversation. I'm going to ask each of you to introduce yourselves, your name, your company, a little bit about what you all do, and then we will dive in from there. Let's start with Kiyoshi.
Sure. First, Slocum, thank you for having me on your podcast. My name is Kiyoshi Simon. I'm a managing partner of Vertical CPA, a real estate specialized tax compliance and consulting firm.
Thanks so much for having me, too. This is my first time here at the Best Ever Conference. It's been amazing so far. My name is Amanda Hahn, and I am a CPA and real estate investor, and our firm is Keystone CPA. And our specialty is in helping real estate investors nationwide on how to use real estate to save in taxes. Most people who come to our firm is because they're looking for help with proactive tax planning.
Great. Well, this is an opportunity for me to use this podcast for my own gains. Basically, there are conversations that I'm having with my CPA right now. We're coming up on the mid-April tax deadline of 2024, so I'm prepping for the conversations I want to have with my CPA later this year. To give you all and the Best Ever listeners a better idea of where I'm coming from so that my questions make more sense, I am primarily an apartment owner-operator out of Greater Cincinnati. I own apartments in several partnerships, mostly JV. One of them has been structured as a syndication. Some things I just own by myself, but also I started a property management company. Two-thirds of the units we manage are completely third-party, and I use my own general contracting company, which does everything within the portfolio that we possibly can, and then also does projects for other investors. So part of the reason I'm an owner-operator, that's how I got into real estate investing, but also I like the control. I'm much more people-oriented than task-oriented. I really like bringing the expertise that we need across all of our investing activity, including accounting, taxation, bookkeeping. I like bringing that expertise in-house, knowing that I have people working for me dedicated to the things that my business needs. I also really like having the high caliber expertise of people like you, Kiyoshi and Amanda, and your firms. So I am always looking to strike a balance between what can I bring in-house, what do I need to understand in order to be able to bring it in-house, and where is it that I still need to be getting that really high caliber expertise where I can't afford to bring Kiyoshi or Amanda on to my management company to work exclusively for me. So how is it that I engage you specific to your expertise while handling the data entry of accounting in-house with my team? Yeah. We were talking just before this interview started. I was explaining to you both that I use AppFolio, the property management software. AppFolio Investment Management, one of the gold level sponsors of this event. I'm planning to stop by their booth here in a moment because I'm interested in their services. But on the property management level, one of the things that we've experienced, especially because a lot of my management is now third party, I'm not one of the owners, and that brings a different kind of accountability to the relationship with the landlord when it comes to their finances. The income statements that come from AppFolio, they do a good job of explaining what money came in and what money went out. They don't necessarily do a good job of categorizing the money that went out when it comes to what needs to be expensed or depreciated, the things that you all are experts on. So I'm trying to figure out how it is that I can do a better job of tracking the finances for each of my landlord clients, myself included. I have an in-house bookkeeper. I don't have a CPA or anyone who's doing serious financial analysis on staff. We're getting that quarterly from my CPA firm in Cincinnati. So let me start there. What recommendations do you have for me based on what I've said thus far, especially when it comes to making sure I'm doing the best possible reporting to my landlords with regards to the investments that we manage?
I can go first. Okay. So I love the way you kind of approached it, first of all. And I would love to have you as a client, because Kiyoshi, how many clients do we have that actually think along those lines of let me be proactive? Mm-hmm. What do you need from me to get you the right financial statements? So kudos to you. You're one of the very few people who actually think that way.
Well, thank you.
But I think you're on the right track, though. What even for our clients, we don't always try to do bookkeeping for everyone. We don't always try to do quarterly reports for everyone. It just really depends on where you are in your portfolio. So you always want to get the best you can get done at the cheapest cost. So you're exactly right. I wouldn't have a CPA or myself or Kiyoshi do the actual bookkeeping. It's much better for some of those data entry things to be in-housed. And then depending on what your budget is, then we look at what's the next level of service you could hire to outsource. Predominantly what we typically see is going to be on the tax compliance and tax planning side, because it's very expensive to have somebody dedicated full-time who's really well-versed in the tax strategy. That's always changing, right? So I think what you're describing is pretty in line with what we see. You know, in-house the accounting, financial side of it, and then outsource on more of the higher level strategy planning side of it.
Yeah, I think just to piggyback on what Amanda said, big kudos for being proactive in a lot of these systems and processes that you're setting up. A lot of it is a partnership, right? So it's what you are doing internally and how you can work with exterior CPAs such as Amanda or myself to really focus more on the strategy and consulting aspect of your financials. Accurate financials are going to start with you and your bookkeeper, whether in or out of house. But from there, the tax strategy and the consulting and the planning are really going to be a systematic approach with a CPA.
You brought up some of the limitations for some of these property management softwares with respect to balance sheets. And I think the unfortunate reality is we're seeing that in all, you know, most property management softwares. It's been a limitation of not having accurate balance sheets. So kind of like take the reports from that system, add it to QuickBooks or whatever financial software we're using, add in all the investor stuff. And so it's not uncommon to have this issue. I know like in our firm, Keystone CPA, we've tried to build relationships with some of these app developers to bring that to their attention. So I think it's something that, at least for us, we're intentionally trying to do to improve it for those software companies, because I think that will make everyone's life a lot easier. Are we there yet? No, but it's a work in progress. And I think just being awareness, you know, from people like you who are telling them, hey, we need more, we need better on the balance sheet side, that goes a long way into making sure we're all doing those things to take it to that next level and have things more streamlined for the investors.
Oh, and I was going to say, and in the interim, again, working with your CPA, one of the new product service lines we introduced this last year is what we call financial health checks, so that your CPA or whomever you're working with can go into your financials on a quarterly basis and really just make sure everything passes the sniff test, right? Not just the income statement, but the balance sheet, making sure your assets and liabilities reconcile to the appropriate statements so that you can make sure that, hey, my financials are on track and you don't have any surprises come April.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Thank you. And I want to come back to that health check in a moment. I do a lot of third-party property management. I consider myself an investor first. I think like an investor and not like a third-party manager. And so I'm trying to figure out what it is that I need as an investor, especially when I have capital partners, whether they're joint venture partners or limited partners in a more syndication structure. What is it that I need, and what is it that I need to make sure I'm providing for them in every aspect of real estate investing, but especially when it comes to financial tracking? Mm-hmm. Let me ask, does what I'm saying right now, are these people who are active owner operators or managers of real estate, when they are your clients or your clients who fit my description, what are the mistakes that you see people like me making most often?
Gosh, so many mistakes. But when we first meet an investor, there's always quite a bit of mistakes. But I think I'll speak specifically for the accounting and tax side of it is not really setting it up correctly. I think it's so important, especially if you have, like you said, JV partners or just investor partners, because now we're responsible for other people's mm-hmm. money. So the common mistake is, well, I have a property management company and they're giving me the financial statements, so I'm done. And so at tax time, it's like, here's my access to AppFolio. And they're not understanding that there's a lot more that should have been tracked in terms of contributions from the investors, distributions, how do we calculate the distributions. So when we have clients who go from the single family, then elevate to multifamily, elevate into syndicating, that's the first thing we tell them. It's like, now you're in a whole different ballgame. We need financial statements. We need to track all those investors' capital accounts. So that's a mistake I see more frequently than I would like.
If I can interrupt, Kiyoshi, and then I definitely want to hear from you. I'm not only a real estate investor from the owning real estate perspective, but also now owning multiple operating businesses within the real estate investing space, a general contracting company, a property management company. And just like I like having the accounting in-house, I like having the skilled trades in-house mm-hmm. too. So I've been studying some business acquisition, business sales. There's a great book called Built to Sell. I'm forgetting the name of the author right now, but I listened to it two or three times in a row just to make sure I caught everything. I'm a big Audible audiobook guy. And one of the things that I think keys into what you were saying, Amanda, is that in order to understand the financials of any business, and let's make the assumption that it is businesses that own the real estate, the LLC, whatever it is, it's a business that owns the real estate in each of the investing firms that our listeners have. There are two financial documents you need to understand the financial health of the company and to understand the taxation of that company. There's a P&L, an income statement, and a balance sheet.
Yeah. Nobody ever talks about the balance sheet, right? It's like a stepchild.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
It's so important. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I don't know that it's necessarily a mistake that I'm making, but I'm learning now from listening to my CPAs complain about having to build out my balance sheets every year that I need to be more proactive about that. And also, if I wanted one of my companies to be saleable, there are a couple of advantages to that. One of them is it's most saleable when it is least reliant on my personal effort, and I want my business to be least reliant on my personal effort. And that's the other reason I've studied this, business sales, but also understanding the financial health of the business from those two reports. So we often hear about the NOI, we often hear about the P&Ls that are coming from general partnerships, from asset managers, from people who work in investor relations when they're sharing with LPs. We don't hear nearly as much about the balance sheet. Am I headed down the right track with regards to things that operators and active investors need to be prioritizing with regards to not only making sure that you have a rock solid P&L, but also that the balance sheet is on point as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that we see very often is that we have certain clients or new clients come to the firm, and their tax structure and their systems and processes have not necessarily evolved with them. So what was working 5 years ago doesn't necessarily work with what they're doing now or what their business is doing now. The metaphor I always like to use is that of a tricycle, right? It's totally appropriate when you're a small kid. Now, when you're a little bit older, it can get a little bit cumbersome. And the same is true for your internal systems and processes. So I think it's really prudent that you're looking at those systems and processes and adapting them so that you can produce accurate financial statements and then ultimately sell.
We'll get back to the show, but first, some sponsors I'm confident you'll find value in learning more about. If you're an investor like me, you're probably looking for one platform to manage the banking and finance needs of your entire portfolio. The good news is there is one. It's called Baselane, and it's the number one banking platform built for independent real estate investors that reduces busy work so you can focus on growing your business. With Baselane, you can earn up to a 4.19% annual percentage yield and 5% cash back on debit card spending with no monthly fees. With a simplified view of your cash flow and expenses, you can retire those tedious spreadsheets. You can also manage unlimited virtual accounts and cards, and even open separate accounts for each property or unit. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane for their banking, property management, and bookkeeping. Head over to baselane.com/Joe and sign up today for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/Joe.
Thinking about me specifically, again, I'm using this episode for my own gain and just bringing the listeners along with me and hoping we add some value to them too. My journey as a real estate investor with regards to, let's focus on with regards to tracking the financials. What advice do you have for me and for your clients who are like me and our listeners who are like me with regards to being active investors who may also be providing financial tracking and reports for their investors and their clients?
I think one of the things that's really helpful is not only having complete financial statements in respect to the balance sheet and income statement, but one of the other things that we also like to stress is supporting documents. So specific to real estate, things like invoices. If you're doing significant renovations or capital expenditures to a property, it's not necessarily true that you have to capitalize all of those things and add them to the basis of your properties. There are plenty of exceptions that allow you to accelerate or expense certain items. So working with your CPA to understand what those items look like, or better yet, what detail I need to have on an invoice that I can then provide to my CPA so that they can do the great work for me, really helps everybody win and get to a final result that everyone can be happy with.
Something interesting you said, for you, for example, you have your property management arm where you're managing for other people, and then you have your own portfolio of properties. One thing we see a lot with our clients who outsource the property management is they just rely heavily on that management statement for tax purposes. So again, they'll just typically send the management report and say, here it is, use it for tax returns. One of the major issues with that is, as you know, being a property manager, you are not tracking 100% of their business expenses. You are tracking the property expenses. So they often have lots of other expenses, their legal fees, their CPA fees, they're coming to Best Ever Conference. You don't see any of that. So what I always tell people is, you know, your property management report, the profit and loss and the balance sheet, that's the starting point. Then we add in your operational account. And once you consolidate those, that's what you're using for tax returns. That's what you're using for management decisions in terms of how you're going to manage the whole project.
Speaking to that specifically, Amanda, because the scenario that you are referencing right now with investors who are hiring third-party management is much more common than what I do. For those investors who are receiving the management report, what are the questions that you wish they were asking of the managers to get more details, more information on that report before they're sending it to you so that they already have the supporting documentation, the invoices, things like that? If I can attempt the first answer to that question, I know when it comes to renovations, there's a big difference between what can be expensed and what has to be depreciated.
Yeah.
So I am not a CPA and not a tax expert, but I know that there's a $2,500 threshold that's important. So if we're just talking about renovations, great, I'm smarter than I think I am. But with regards to the other things that are coming in that property management report, what are the questions you wish your clients already had answers to and supplemental documentation for before they were sending it to you.
Yeah, I think it's great that Kiyoshi talked about just kind of the expensing and depreciation side. And you're exactly right. You're not a CPA, nor is the investor. So we don't expect them to know all the different nuances of the $2,500 de minimis or can we use another exception, right? So from that perspective, like Kiyoshi said, the more detail, the better, right? If we can go back to the invoices, that's something easy to do. That goes the long way. I think something else outside of that, deposits, whether a deposit is refundable deposit or non-refundable deposit, does make a difference
in the tax
world.
A deposit from a tenant.
Yeah, tenant deposits, if it's refundable versus non-refundable, I feel like that's a question we frequently have to go back to the management to ask, you know.
And I would say building off of that, one of the things that we've started to see more often recently has been rate caps where there's a short-term or bridge debt. And with those rate cap receipts, sometimes we're seeing mortgage interest booked as a credit value, which means it's showing as other income effectively. And so I think just at a high level, just looking at your P&L and balance sheet and saying, hey, does this pass the sniff test, right? Does it make sense that my mortgage interest is showing me income? Does it make sense that I have negative depreciation or no depreciation on my financials? And so really taking that high-level macro view of your financials, I think, is a very good initial step versus just getting that PM report, assuming it's accurate, and then passing it off to your CPA or tax advisor.
Yeah, we always ask the client, have you looked at your financial statements and the balance sheet? Does it look right?
Yeah.
At a high level, were you expecting $60,000 or no?
Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. Heading towards the end of this interview, just a couple of things, and then we'll have our final segment. I work with a fantastic CPA firm based in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they really are real estate investor focused, and they're the kinds of CPAs who already know the answers to the questions. They don't have to look them up, and they're also real estate investors themselves in very similar deals to the ones that their clients do. Let's pretend for a moment that I'm your client, or that you're looking at onboarding me as your client, and I've just told you that I want to do as much of my accounting in-house as possible and only have to come to you for your specific expertise that you don't think I should have on payroll anyways. I want to be sending you things maybe every month. I want to be having a conversation with you every quarter. Where is that boundary between the things that I should be doing in-house? I should be hiring someone who's not at your level to work for me, focused on my finances for, and what are the things where I really need to defer to your expertise and not try to get in your lane?
Yeah, I'm happy to take that. I think one of the interesting things about the tax industry is it tends to be looked at as something old and fixed and static, when in reality, it's quite the opposite. There are multiple changes every year, and I would say especially in the last 3 to 5 years, there have been some significant changes to the tax industry. So that's not something that I would ever want a client to dabble in. That's really something that you need to have a full focus in. You want a CPA or tax advisor whose full-time focus is in that area to make sure that they're staying up to date with all of the most recent tax knowledge so that you're not only optimizing your financials, but you're getting every dollar possible back.
Yeah, I think it's just how quickly you scale your real estate business. You start with an in-house bookkeeper, and then you might have an accounting manager. And so if you need a little bit more than that, like how do we automate things, build out just the consolidation of the financials, maybe you'll have a controller, part-time controller, then a full-time controller that's in-house. And then, yeah, I think you scale up from there. But I agree, too, the tax piece, we actually have clients who have in-house tax person that files their returns, but far and few in between, because you have to be at a pretty large scale to have that position in-house. You're paying someone a couple $100,000 a year to do tax returns, right? So you better have enough tax return work to warrant that. But even then, at least for our clients, they still want us to have a second look of the returns before it's submitted. So I think you look at it like a pyramid, basically, right? Accountant, manager, controller, maybe CFO, part-time CFO. But the tax piece, I think, is one that's generally going to be outsourced or in-house last, I would say.
Well said.
That makes a lot of sense. In lieu of the typical or traditional best ever lightning round that we would have at the end of this conversation, I have a couple of questions for you. First, I want you to have the opportunity, instead of asking you for the best ever book you recently read, I want to give you guys the opportunity to plug your book and the book that you're currently working on. Starting with Amanda, tell us about your book.
Yeah, I was asked recently, actually, on a podcast, what was the book that changed my life the most? And I kind of cheated. I said, it's my book. It changed my life quite a bit. So the book that my husband, Matt, and I wrote, it's called Tax Strategies for the Savvy Real Estate Investor. And it's really a compilation of client stories, really, of how you can save on taxes when you do things right and what happens when you don't do tax planning correctly. And you can get that on Amazon, Bigger Pockets, and anywhere books are sold.
I am downloading it on Audible right now.
Yes, and then I'm going to read that to you tonight.
Yes, or in the morning when I'm going through my morning routine.
And I can second Matt and Amanda's book. I've read both of them myself. They're excellent. Whether you're a tax professional or a non-professional, it's a great read for both audiences.
And Kyoshi, you're working on a book right now?
I am working on a book, name pending, but we're excited to launch it early next year. It is going to be focused on tax strategies for normal real estate investors to implement at their level so that they can maximize their deductions.
Awesome. Kyoshi, Amanda, for our real estate investor audience, what is your best ever accounting advice?
I think for me, mine is be friends with your accountant. Keep that line of communication open. I think most people, when we talk about accounting, it's like bookkeeping, I call it bad B word because people don't like to talk about it. Taxes, dreaded word. But really change our mind shift around it. You don't have to become a CPA. You don't have to know how to take depreciation. All you have to do is make sure you keep your line of communication open with your CPA. So when they know what you're doing, they can help you plan accordingly.
Yeah, 100%. One of the big things that we like to stress is that we work with our clients. So it's really critical to understand your client's business inside and out so that you can really focus on tax structuring, consulting, and planning and really help them grow their business in a meaningful way so that they're not focused on becoming CPAs themselves.
That makes a lot of sense. Amanda, Kyoshi, thank you. Best ever listeners, thank you as well for listening to this episode brought to you live in Salt Lake City at the Best Ever Conference, sponsored by PreiShare. If you've gained value from this conversation today, please do subscribe to our show. Leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend you know we can add value to through our conversation today. Thank you and have a best ever day.
Hi, Best Ever listeners, Joe Fairless here again. And one last thing before you go, would you like to receive a short weekly email with proven tips from experienced investors, free tools and resources, and a roundup of the week's most relevant news and best ever content? Well, if so, join the community of nearly 15,000 commercial real estate passive and active investors who receive the Best Ever newsletter. Just go to bestevercre.com/access. And you'll get the very next one. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as always, thank you for listening and have a best ever day.